I want to take you to John's Gospel, the 8th chapter. Beginning at verse 57. We'll find ourselves focusing on the 58th verse and the 59th verse. Scripture says, "Then the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham.' And Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.' Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." I want to preach to you from the subject matter that greater is here. Father, I thank you for the word of the living God. I thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It's described as being sharper than any two-edged sword. The purpose of the sword is to divide asunder soul from spirit and discern the intentions of the heart. So, Father, I ask as you speak a word to us today that it doesn't just change some things because it has the power to change everything. I pray that the word causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son. I pray that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. Touch every heart so it's open to receive the word. Anoint every ear that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing is that you have your way. Do what only you can do. Say what only you can say. Perform what only you can perform. And we promise to give you the glory. I stand in my spiritual authority and I bind every hindrance and every spirit except the Holy Spirit. And I say, loose your freedom in this place to heal, to touch, and to deliver, and to set free. And I pray that none of us, including myself, leaves this place the way that we came, but that we are all changed by your power. And we will give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. You agree? Shout amen. Before you take your seat, turn to your neighbor. Come on, smile as bright as you can. Come on, KLC, show them at least 10 teeth. You got to show at least 10. Doesn't matter if you got gold fronts. Doesn't matter. No one cares. This is Baltimore. Everybody got gold teeth. Come on. Smile. Smile. Look at your neighbor and say, greater is here. Greater. Let's find somebody on the other side of you. Say the same thing. Greater is here. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For those of you who are joining us on Facebook Live, I pray the same power and anointing reaches you right where you are, on your sofa, in your car, wherever you are watching us. We thank God for you. I want to preach to you from the Gospel of John, and I want to do it in a way that causes you to understand the nature of the gospel itself, because John is over 90% different, 97% in particular different from the synoptic gospels, and particularly focused, just like most of the other gospels, on Jesus' life. However, the difference is that John's gospel focuses on and comes into being from the place of who the Lord is prior to him coming into the earth realm. And so in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. And then it goes on to say, when we beheld him as the only begotten Son of the Father, it begins to attach itself directly to the deity of Jesus Christ and begins to inform the reader that Jesus came from the heavens. And as we begin to understand that, we begin to understand the true nature of Jesus Christ. It is in the Gospel of John that Jesus Jesus began to make the seven great statements of I am. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheep, so forth and so on. And as he begins to do this, there are miracles that are accompanying him in his message. And the miracles that are accompanying him are miracles that are pointing to, if you will, his nature. The miraculous form of what he's doing is turning things that are one way into another. Therefore, we find Jesus in the first miracle ever recorded, where he turns water into wine. And when he turns the water into wine, the miracle is not that he turned the water into wine. The miracle is that the wine can never go back to the water or the form that it used to be. The true miracle in and of itself is that when God touches a thing and changes the nature of it, the old nature no longer has power over the thing God touches. Slap your neighbor and say, my old nature can't win. It can't win. Once Jesus touches your life, come on, here, somebody. Ah, God, the old thing has been passed away and all things are now made new. And so the old nature can never win because God is so busy making you into something new. What you used to be can never catch up to what God is already making brand new. I wish I had somebody in here. The enemy can do whatever he wants to hinder you and to stop you, but he really can't catch you. He really can't touch you because God's creative ability is moving so rapidly and so fast in your life. And this is what he meant when he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. He said it not in the past tense, but he said it in the perfect present tense form of the language. And when he said it in that form, he was basically saying you must be born again and again and again and again and again and again. And the inference is that it's so quick, it's so fast that you don't even know that you're being made into something new. As the moment God does a thing in your life, he's working on the next thing. I wish I had somebody in here. And so you have to understand, as John begins to pen his prose, he begins to pen it in a way of reflecting on the life of Christ, but he really focuses on the last week of Jesus's life. And as he focuses on the last week of Jesus' life, he puts in there in the eighth chapter, as Jesus is highlighting who he is and determining to show his disciples that he has a greater nature on the inside of him, he chooses for the very first time to confront his haters. The reason he chooses to confront his haters is not so much that the haters are winning, is because that the haters are now determined to hinder his work. It's not that he has an issue with the haters, because haters gonna hate, boo. Come on, somebody. And so it's not about the haters, but when the moment that the haters turn into hinderers, then God has to do something about it. Look at your neighbor and say, don't worry about your haters. Don't worry about your haters. All your haters can do is promote you, because they're going to talk about you. And when they talk about you, it's going to give an audience for what God is going to do. So that when God does what he said he's going to do, you have a group of people who have an opposite expectation of what God said he's going to do. So that when they look at you, you can say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I wish I had somebody to talk to. I don't know where I would be. And when you begin to understand that the Lord had to deal with this, because he begins to confront for the first time the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the Jewish leaders. And although the Old Testament prophecies called him the Prince of Peace, speaking of Jesus Christ, this is the first time he comes to stand toe-to-toe with his haters and let them know who he really is. And the reason why they have a problem with him is because they're trying to let him know, or trying to convince everybody, that he is not from the lineage of Abraham. They're trying to convince everybody that he's not one of them. They're trying to convince everyone that he is of a different format. He is of Satan. He's of the seed of the devil. He's a demon, or he has a demon in him. As a matter of fact, when he began to heal people and cast devils out, he said, oh, you can't do this unless you have a devil yourself. And God will come back to them. Jesus will come back to them and say, a house divided against itself cannot stand. I can't cast my own self out. Y'all ain't said nothing. And so he will begin to confront them. But in John 8, he confronts them in a different way. He confronts them in a different tone. He confronts them toe to toe, eye to eye, chest to chest. He lets the enemy know, and let every hindrance know, there's nothing you can do that can stop what's about to happen. There's nothing you can do that can stop me from unleashing this full glory that's on the inside of me. You see, the disciples walked with Jesus and they did it for some time, but they really didn't know his full glory. They didn't really understand who he really was. They were with him for 3.5 3.5 years, and still when God would reveal to them who he really was, they still didn't know. Peter got a revelation that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, because God had to inform them, but they still didn't know who he really was. But when Jesus climbed, God, a mountain and began to transfigure his form and began to let out who he really was on the inside, my God, the disciples couldn't handle it. I'm trying to tell you that folk can't handle who you really are on the inside if you let out your full glory. Look at your name and say, you couldn't handle it, baby. You couldn't handle it. If I really become who God called me to be, I wish I had somebody. You couldn't stand my anointing. You couldn't stand my praise. You couldn't stand the power of my praise. It would annoy you. It would. I look at your name and say, you don't know. You better ask somebody. You don't know. He confronts his haters toe-to-toe because the haters are now becoming hinderers. Haters are promoters. You want them to promote your life. You really can pay them little to no attention because they're doing free PR for you. Let them talk about you. Let them murmur. Let them gossip. I wish I had somebody in here. It's going to give somebody cause to come and see what God is doing in your life. And when they come and see a different narrative, they're going to be shocked because they're going to be looking for one result, but going to see a completely different result of the work of God in, oh my God. I feel an anointing in here. Look at your neighbor and say, your narrative is about to change. I wish I had somebody. Don't go there, Phillips. Don't go there. And so he deals with the hindrance. I want you to understand this in context of scripture, because the hindrance is not spiritual. The hindrance is not spiritual. The hindrance, you know, whenever you are about to go into the next dimension, what used to hinder you spiritually typically takes physical form and manifests itself in people. Okay. It's easy to talk in the abstract of get thee behind me, Satan, but it's a little bit more difficult when you're looking in somebody's eyes who are doing things that are causing you harm. Y'all ain't said nothing, and you can't comprehend why they're doing it to you, and they don't know why they're doing it either, so you don't know what to say or who to talk to about. Because there should be people who understand you. There should be people who get you. I wish I had somebody. The Pharisees, if anybody, should have got Jesus. They were versed in scripture. They were versed in the Old Testament prophecy. They knew that the Messiah was coming. But when the Messiah showed up in a package that they was not ready for, because he did not come from a place of prestige, I wish I had somebody in here, but came from a lower platform. You can't accept it. It's just like God to always show up in a package. That's not pretty. As a matter of fact, if it's pretty, leave it on the shelf. Because burdens can come in pretty packages. Oh, I'm preaching up in here. Typically, when God is giving you something or moving in your life, it's messy. Oh, y'all ain't helping no preacher right now. I know the prophet told you it's your time and your seed and it's going to come in, but let me rectify the prophecy. Y'all ain't said nothing. Before it's your time and before it's your season, it's going to be a hot mess. It's not going to feel good. It's going to be uncomfortable. People are going to misunderstand you. You're going to feel like quitting. You're going to feel like giving up. I wish I had somebody. You're going to have to come to know the Lord for yourself. No preacher can help you. No praise team can help you. You got to learn to worship on your own. You got to learn to praise with no organ, no music. I got to feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's how it shows up. Slap your neighbor and say, don't you sit on my praise. I've been through too much. I've been through too much for you to criticize. I wish I had somebody for you to come down on my praise. And no. I didn't get this off of a shelf. I didn't order this on Amazon. I wish I had to go through some stuff to praise God the way I praise. And you looking at me down my road, talking about sit down, shut up. Baby, if you've been through what I've been through, you would give God praise right now. You would say, I will bless the Lord at all. My God, I'm about to set it off up in here. Where the praise is at in the house that went through some pain and learned how to praise God all by yourself. Oh, glory to God. Woo! Y'all sit down. Let me preach this thing. He deals with the hindrance because the hindrance is serious. I got to get to where I'm going. The hindrance is serious because the word hinder in scripture means to cut into. It means to impede. It literally means to break up the road or to place an obstacle sharply in the path. It means to detain a person unnecessarily. Oh, I'm preaching right now. This is why the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, it says, wherefore we would have come to you, Paul speaking, I would have come to you once again, but Satan hindered us. You find it also in the book of Romans 15:22, where he's trying to say, for which cause I also have been much hindered from coming to you. Something is always trying to stop you from getting to where you're supposed to go. So when Paul writes to the Galatians, he writes in Galatians 5:7, and he says, you did run well, but something hindered you that you should not obey the truth. Slap your name and say, you know what you're supposed to do. It's just something hindered you from doing what you know. Y'all ain't in here. From doing what you know. You know you're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. I wish I had somebody. You know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You know you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. Slap your neighbor and say, I learned that lesson already. I know it. I know it. I wish I had some help. You know it. The problem is not what you know. The problem is the lack of wisdom to apply what it is that you know. So in the church, you got folk full of the word, but not full of wisdom. Oh, I'm preaching about it, y'all. Show. Because you allowed the hindrance to stop you from breaking into the next dimension and becoming everything that God called you to do. Slap your name and say, it's supposed to be a fight, baby. I know some goofy preacher promised you when you gave your life to the Lord. That's right, goofy preacher promised you when you gave your life to the Lord, everything was going to be all right. I know they told you that all things pass away, all things become new, but they didn't tell you you would still have your personality. I know they told you that you've been set free, but not set free from the stuff you like. Oh, yeah, newsflash. The enemy doesn't tempt you with stuff you don't like. Why is this happening to me? Because you like it. Oh, then nobody said, nobody shout. I'm sorry. I digress. I'm going to go back to where I was going. To break up the road in front of you so that when you get to the road, you go, there's no path. And so you forget what you know about God. And you start looking at the hindrance. Then you start listening to the haters. And then you don't know where your help is coming from. So you look to odd places for help when your help comes from the Lord. Because when your help comes from the Lord, it doesn't matter what obstacle is in your path as long as he is the object of your faith. out. I'm preaching better than y'all. Shout. Therefore, when I know who God is, I know he makes a way out of no way. So when I see a destructive path in front of me, God, I will wait on you until you show me a different way or make a way. Slap your name and say, you better learn to wait, baby. You better learn to wait. Jesus confronts the hinderers because he is about to release his glory and go into the next dimension, and therefore opening up the doorway for those that would believe in him to do the same. And as he's doing this, they are criticizing him because he begins to talk about Abraham as if he knew him. And he begins to talk about Abraham in the past tense, like, if you really knew Abraham, you would understand who my father was and so forth and the like. And as he begins to talk in this way and in this language, he begins to confront them. And as he begins to confront his opponents, they don't understand it. And the reason they don't understand it is they don't know that he's been around for a very long time. He's the Ancient of Days. They can only see him in his present structure, but they didn't see him in his former glorious structure. They were not there when they said, let us make man in my image and after our likeness. They were not there when the Lord decided that he would come in bodily form and become the scapegoat and the lamb slain that would take away the sins of the whole world. They were not present. And so Jesus is speaking in that vernacular, and they don't understand his voice because they don't understand who he is. And because they don't understand who he is, they don't get his message. And so they said to him, boy, you ain't even 50 years old and you talking about some Abraham. And Jesus bucks up and says, let me tell you something. Before Abraham was, no. I am, no, you gotta get it. I am. Before Abraham was, past tense, I am, meaning I am ever present, even though I was ever past. I am omnipotent. I am omnipresent. I am multidimensional. There's more to me than meets the eye. Oh, God, slap your name and say, he is. He is. Oh, if you ever got a revelation of it, you would never, ever, ever be concerned about the conditions or your situation. If you ever got the revelation that he is, I wish he is a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. He is a healer. He is a way maker. I wish I had help. He is. Here we go. Here we go. Slap your name and say, that was the intro. Did you like it? That was the intro. Did you like it? So, he sets the stage by confronting for the very first time the conflict of worldviews, the conflict of understanding, the conflict of secular minds and spiritual minds, the conflict of church folk and kingdom folk, the conflict that is still ubiquitous within the culture of the church in which we serve, the conflict of serving him without knowing who he is. Oh, y'all ain't said nothing. The conflict of worshiping but not knowing who he is. Dancing but not knowing who he is. Getting dressed up to see him, but not knowing who he is. This ain't no blind date. See, oh God, I feel annoyed. When you're on a blind date, you dress up falsely. Because that's not the real you. Oh, I'm preaching my church. But when you know somebody, y'all ain't said nothing, you can come in a matter, oh my Lord, have mercy, that is acceptable because the individual knows the real you. I ain't gonna mess with that because I don't want to get in trouble. Jesus is now confronting the issue, and as he's confronting the issue, he's trying to say greater is here. He's trying to get them to understand that the mindset that you have is outdated. It's outdated because you don't have knowledge of who I really am. And when you don't have knowledge of who I really am, then how can you know who you really are? And so the Pharisees, if you will, were comfortable in their structure. They were comfortable in their mindset, which was a structure. They were comfortable in their religion, which was a structure. They were comfortable in their faith, which was a structure. They were comfortable in the structures that they built for themselves because they were waiting for a Messiah. Still to this day, they are still waiting for a Messiah that had already came, died, rose, and is now seated at the right hand of God. Because of the structures they built, which was not suitable for their purpose. You can become married to a structure. You can become comfortable in a structure that is not your real purpose. You can become comfortable in a mindset. You can become comfortable in a condition. You can become comfortable in a situation that is not your real purpose. And because it's a sound structure that seems like it's never going to break or never going to go away, you don't do the choosing that is necessary to dismantle the structure. Slap your neighbor and say, you can dismantle it if you choose to. Ah, God. Any structure that is determined to hinder your purpose, you have the power to dismantle. The reason why you have the power to dismantle is because God is the author and the finisher of your faith. Y'all ain't said nothing. He is the author and the finisher of your faith, but he is not the starter of your faith. He is not the middle of your faith. Stop your name and say, you have to participate. You got to participate. To make my case and to make my point, I chosen to use a little illustration to help you out. And the illustration I chose to use is that of a caterpillar because it makes sense. Jesus is basically saying, this is not scriptural. It's just my prophetic imagination of me hearing him saying, before Abraham was, I am. I can begin to, the moment he said that, the moment I read that scripture that popped in me, what happens with a caterpillar? A caterpillar is birthed out and born in a form and a structure that is not its destiny. The caterpillar was not born to crawl the ground and eat the dust. Oh, Lord, it's just the structure in which it was the beginning of what it was going to be. So the structure could be the beginning of something, not the end of the thing. I wish I had somebody in here. Oh, God, this is why the scripture says better than the end of the thing than the beginning thereof. And most of the times when we're going through a structure or a pattern of events, we begin to believe this is the new normal. Look at your name and say, you can break the pattern. Come on here, you can break the pattern. In order to break the pattern, you have to understand that a problem needs to occur. The problem that needs to occur, whether you want to call it crisis, call it problem, it needs to be a game-changing event or condition that disrupts the status quo, that causes disorientation, that prompts a reassessment of your environment. In other words, it needs to be a choice that causes you to provoke your destiny. Look at your name and say, you got to provoke your destiny. Come on here. Provoking your destiny is not as ethereal as it may sound. Provoking your destiny simply means that you have to participate in the fulfillment thereof. To provoke your destiny means you have to determine, I was not built to be in this condition. I was not built to be this way. I was not built to be criticized the way you're criticizing me. I was not built to take the form of which you would like for me to take. I know that there's more deep down on the inside of me, and I know that there's more work for me to do. This condition is not going to dictate my destiny, and I will not make a decision based upon a temporary circumstance that this is permanent in my life. Slap your name and say, it's not permanent, baby. It's temporary. Whatever condition or situation you might find yourself in, it is not permanent. So don't let a pattern form which will build a structure that will cause you to think this is permanent. My assignment this morning is one in particular, and that is to disrupt and break, dismantle, and destroy the patterns that you keep finding yourself in. Now look at your name and say, we about to destroy the pattern, baby. We about to destroy the pattern. To destroy the pattern, we have to identify the problem. The problem is that you're waiting for God to touch you because you think he's writing your story. Look at your neighbor and say, he's not writing your story. He's not writing. He's narrating your story. He is the author, and he's Morgan Freeman in your life. Morgan Freeman narrates every movie. Y'all ain't said nothing. he's speaking over you, you don't hear what I'm saying. You still got to act it out. You still, oh, y'all not in here with, you still got to, ain't nobody shouting now. You were shouting on the haters, but the moment I say participate, you still have to act it out. You still have work to do. You still have something to accomplish. And when you have to accomplish this work, you have to begin to understand the problem. Somebody shout the problem, the problem, the problem, the problem. The problem is not necessarily a negative experience, although it could be a traumatic event that shifts you, if you will, some illness or divorce or bankruptcy or whatever it might be, that shifts your mindset into a position that says, I can't live this way anymore. It could be a career change. It could be a sudden societal shift. It could be a decision to get married, which will change your life forever. Y'all ain't saying nothing. It could be any of these major forces that come into your life, but you have to begin to analyze what's happening and begin to form new strategies and goals and objectives so that you can begin to take the existing structure, rearrange it, and remove it so that the new structures are set in place to support the update, the sense of destiny that you now have and purpose that you're now about to accomplish. You cannot determine that the old form or the old structure is going to be the mode of operation. You have to determine within the problem that there's a new structure coming that's about to disrupt the pattern so that what I used to experience on a daily, I no longer experience anymore. Look at your neighbor and say, God's about to disrupt the pattern. Come on here. If you have a pattern, I don't know why I'm on this. If you have a pattern of not having the ends, let alone make them meet, God is about to disrupt the pattern. If you have the pattern of keep choosing the wrong individual to partner your life with, God is about to disrupt the pattern. If you got the pattern to keep making bad decisions, I wish I had somebody here. God is about to disrupt. Oh, God. Slap your name and say, he's about to disrupt the pattern. He's about to. The way that the pattern gets disrupted, oh God, I feel like preaching. The way that the pattern gets disrupted is when you decide no weapon formed against you can prosper. The scripture says that they heard what Jesus said, and they decided that they were going to throw stones at him. And the Bible says that he didn't even regard the stones that was about to be thrown at them, but he hid himself. Slap your neighbor and say, hide yourself, hide yourself. My Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my rock and my fortress. In him will I trust. It goes on to say, 1,000 can fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but because I'm hidden, none of it comes nigh me. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to hide yourself. Huh, God? You got to hide yourself long enough that the hinderers nor the haters can even find your location or find where you are. That means when they provoke you mentally, you don't even respond because they don't know your mindset, because your mind is so stayed on him. You're kept in perfect peace. And when that peace comes, it transcends your understanding. And it what? Guards your heart and your. Slap your neighbor and say, keep your mind on the Lord. Keep your mind on the Lord. I didn't say run and hide. I just said hide. I'm hidden when you don't know my mindset. I'm hidden when you don't know what I'm thinking. I'm hidden when you're cursing me and talking about me and telling me I'm not going to do a thing and I'm not even responding to you because your words don't even solicit a response from me because I am not complicit to what you are saying. My mind is focused on what has already been spoken over my life. And my God said, I'm blessed in the city, in the field, when I come, when I go. He said, I'm the head and not the tail. He said, I'm more than a conqueror. Slap your neighbor and say, hide yourself. Hide yourself. Stop telling everybody what you think. Stop giving the enemy ammunition by your emotional dumps. That's why scripture says, be still, know I'm God. Half your problems will go away if you learn how to hold your peace. Somebody trolling you on social media. I know, older folk, don't worry about it. I'll come back to you in a second. Somebody trolling you on social media and you want to give a response. Why? You give them power. Ignore the haters. Ignore the negative commentary. Make it become white noise. Make it go static so people can't discern what they're saying. I wish I had somebody in here. That's what Jesus did. He made their words go static so people couldn't even discern what they're saying. If he would have chose to fight them at that moment, or he would have chose to release who he was in that hour, oh God, his impact would have been thwarted. If he would have chose to say, boy, you better, don't you touch, do you know who you're messing with? A lot of people go down talking about, do you know who I am? Jesus could have flexed his superstar muscle. I wish I had somebody. He could have said, but do you know who I am? No, but he didn't say that. He says, before Abraham was, I am. You don't have to know who I am for me to be who I am. You don't have to agree with who I am for me to become who I am. Because you don't determine. I'm almost there. Slap your name and say, identify the problem. Come on here, identify the problem. When you identify the problem now, you got to choose to go through the process. And this is what you're not going to like. The process involves this sense of unease and anxiety. And it arises when you identify the problem and it makes clear that change is imminent. In other words, you done stepped out there and ain't no turning back. When a caterpillar decides that there's a problem with its destiny and it chooses to believe that there's something on the inside of them, oh God, I'm preaching, that it's greater than what's on the outside form or the old structure, the caterpillar decides to climb. Slap your name and say, you gotta climb, baby, you gotta climb. The reason it decides to climb is because it gives itself the sense that change is imminent, meaning I'm gonna climb up this tree or I'm gonna climb up this wall, and if I don't change in the process, I'm never going back down to the level from which I came. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to climb. You got to climb. You got to climb in your mindset. You got to climb in your circle. You got to climb. If you don't climb, this is why Jesus always would choose a mountain. I forgot I'm preaching. He would always choose a mountain. And wouldn't he choose a mountain when he was about to change into who he really was and transfigure? And he told disciples, come on, follow me. These jokers got halfway up the mountain, had to take a break. Then he got to where they were going and they went to sleep. That was the first time they did it. They did it another time when he was at the foot of another mountain called the Mount of Olives, when he was about to really let the thing loose. And he says, I need you to pray with me for a little while. When you climb, your prayer life has to be on fleek, because if your prayer life is not in a place or a position of intimacy with God, you better understand not everybody can climb with you. So you're going to be looking for people to climb. I'm losing my voice. So you're going to be looking for people to climb and they're going to be asleep. They're going to be asleep because, oh God, this is something I always used to tell my son. No one is going to be as excited about your vision or your destiny or your purpose as you are. So why are you looking for people to be happy for you? And I'm not saying everybody's hating and all this. No, that's all I'm saying. I'm just saying stop looking for the validation of other people who really don't have no skin in the game for your destiny. You've never seen a caterpillar climb with a bunch of other caterpillars. It's one caterpillar on a tree, one caterpillar on a wall, one caterpillar on a twig. Because if I attach to this twig and you with me, but you don't want to change, we both going to go back down. Oh, ain't nobody helping me in here. Slap your neighbor and say, do you want to change or don't you? Some people are comfortable in their old structure and in their old paradigm, and they do not want to go to the next dimension. So they'll say, keep crawling with me because I want you to crawl with me. But when your destiny is no longer to crawl, but to fly and to soar, my God, baby, I love you, but I can't crawl with you. Now, I'll fly past you on my way to where God said I'm supposed to be. But I can't crawl with you no more. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm climbing, I'm climbing, I'm climbing, I'm climbing. I'm climbing to another dimension. I'm climbing to another mindset. I'm climbing to a different prayer life. I'm climbing to a deeper spiritual understanding of who God is. I wish I had somebody here. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm climbing, I'm climbing, I'm climbing. All right, stay with me. I'm almost there. Here we go. I'm going to give you another two. I got to go. Watch this. When you begin to climb, you go through the process. The process is not comfortable. The caterpillar realizes, watch me now, it realizes that it's up here now. It done climbed. And when it climbs, it begins to spin and twirl. The reason it begins to spin and twirl is because inside of the, my God, caterpillar and outside of the caterpillar, there are two things. On the inside, it is the greater being or greater sense of what it is. On the outside is all of the structure in the flesh material to create the cocoon. And so what it has to do is spin feverishly. And when it spins feverishly, it creates this cocoon that's already on it. Can I tell you that all the pressure and all the weight that you're under right now is simply the cocoon that can be constructed, that can cause the change that needs to take place in your life? This is why the Bible says God never places on you more than you, my God, I feel like preaching, can handle, but does provide a way up escape. So the way of escape is for you to take all the weights and pressure of life, watch me now, and cocoon it. Cause them to put you into a mindset where you're focused. The cocoon is not a cage. It's not a prison. But it's a dwelling of your own choosing. So that the predators, my God, and the haters and the hinderers won't touch you. Oh, y'all not in here with me. Whenever God starts spinning your life to create the cocoon, y'all in here with me, you freak out. So things start turning upside down. Stuff start turning around. Look at your neighbor and say, he's got to turn it upside down before he can turn it around. Y'all ain't said nothing. Lord have mercy. Yeah. So you're upset about the process because you really got up to this spot, but you found out you don't want to change. And when you don't, want to change, all of a sudden you start freaking out about the process. And when you start freaking about the process, you can never go through the passage of which God has given you to bring the change. If there is a process, then there is also a passageway. There is a way out. There is a way of escape. The problem with the way out is that you can't go back the way you came because you made this climb. So you're up here now. Y'all ain't said nothing. And because you're up here, you can't go back down there. Have you ever seen a caterpillar create a cocoon?
No.
On National Geographic or something? Wildlife Channel? The sucker climbs up a wall or a high spot because it's determined that it's not going to become what it was. But it believes, it's intuitive, that something is greater on the inside. All the caterpillar friends is looking at him like, what you doing up there? Because it's not intuitive in community, it's only intuitive personally. Meaning your friends don't understand why you're climbing. And they certainly don't get the cocoon. And moreover, they think you're dead. Oh, I'm preaching better, y'all shout. If you can understand this in the context of the scripture, the reason Jesus is making the statement is because he's about to die. He's about to cocoon. But what they don't realize is not a tomb, it's a womb. The cocoon is not built for you to die. The cocoon is built for you to be birthed. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, God's about to birth something out of me. I wish I had a church in here. He didn't bring you this far to kill you. He didn't bring you this far for you to die. He didn't. Who am I preaching to in here? Say it with me. When you identify this passage, the only way out is through, baby. And the through is not pretty. Because in that cocoon, the caterpillar begins to digest itself. Nasty. It literally liquefies itself and turns itself into soup. Ugly. And so if we got a view of what was inside the cocoon, it would look like goo. I know, baby. It would look like messy soup. Nobody would be able to discover or discern what this mess is. Could it be you're looking at your life and you're trying to figure out what in the world is this mess? But could it be inside the mess are intelligent cells that know how to pull itself back together again and form a new vertebrae and a new skeletal structure? And I thought I was tearing it up in here. See, leaving the process and trying to get through the passage before the process is over is detrimental to your destiny. So you got to learn how to endure the messiness of the process. Oh, I'm preaching up in here. To get to where you're supposed to go. Slap your neighbor and say, it's messy, but the results are going to be beautiful, sweetheart. Oh, God, who am I preaching to in here? Don't you sit up in here and act like you ain't got some stuff in your life that's messy, but the results are about to be. Last point. And so, the caterpillar, last right now, it's going through this metamorphosis. And in the metamorphosis is taking place because it's allowing itself to be renewed. This is why the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, y'all are in here, as a living sacrifice. What are you willing to let go so that you can become all that God has called you to be? You got to shed the outside shell so that you can become the thing that God created you to be. Slap your neighbor and say, let it go, baby, let it go. Holding on to folk, holding on to dudes that ain't going to do you right, holding on to a job that ain't getting it done, holding on. God, I'm preaching better than y'all. Shout, let it go. I don't know who this fool, you've been with him 7 years. Let that Negro go. I'm preaching to somebody up in here. Free yourself from the expectations of others. Free yourself. I'm almost there. You can't leave the process until it's the right timing. The ritual has to be completed so the new status is realized. It's the only remaining choice you have. You can't be resistant to the change that's already at work on the inside of you. Because the problem with resistance is that God will not override your resistance. He will let you stay soup. Once the change start taking place, he'll go, okay, go ahead. Let me stir you up a little bit. See? He'll let you stay soup. God will never override your resistance. He doesn't do that. That's not what he does. He waits for your cooperation, and he waits for you to go through the whole process. And as you go through the process, watch me now, he then creates the portal. God, I'm preaching way better than y'all. Shout him. The portal is a little bit more difficult because the portal, if you will, is the new world that you are about to discover. When the caterpillar decides that it's going to allow itself to go through the process, it lets that soup begin to take on, if you will, a new mindset and a new framework. And the framework, if you will, is determined by these things called imaginal disc. I'm almost there. Imaginal discs are shaped within that soup, within that cocoon, and it is the nerve cells, or if you will, that begin to reformalize itself. I like that word, imaginal disc. Y'all not in here with me. In other words, the caterpillar has to get on the canvas of its imagination what it's going to be and determine whether or not it's going to be a butterfly or a moth. Either way, both of them have wings. Y'all ain't said nothing. It becomes a moth when it tries to speed up the process, but it becomes a butterfly when it goes through the whole thing. Slap your neighbor and say, I want the pretty wings, baby, not the short wings. I gotta stay in this thing until God finishes it. Slap your neighbor and say, it's just a 4-week process. If I can hold on for 4 weeks, if I can do it a little bit longer, if I can hold my God. Oh, slap your neighbor high five and say, hold on, baby. Just a little bit longer. Your wings are about to be built. Oh, God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I wish I had my preacher's voice. I wish I had. Everyone standing on your feet all over this church. Stay there, B. Stay there. Go back. Go back. There we go. God, I feel it. I wish I, come on, Holy Ghost, help this preacher out. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm holding on, baby. I can't give up now. I can't quit now. I'm going to make it to my destiny. I'm going to make it to the next dimension. I just need 10 folk to help this preacher out. Slap 3 people a high five and say, I can't quit now. I'm almost there. I see a portal. I see a way out. I wish I had some help. I see a new world approaching. I see new opportunities. I see new endeavors. Let me prophesy to you. My God, I see new moments. I see new memories. God is about to release to you a passing through anointing. Don't you sit on this right here. Matter of fact, you can't sit on it if you try. I bind every hinderer and hater in this room. Slap your neighbor and say, he might not be talking to you, but he is talking to me. Don't you sit on my destiny, because I'm about to provoke my destiny. Oh, God. On this next praise, I'm about to participate in a passing through anointing. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a passing through anointing. You just need a little bit more time to hold on. Typically, I would ask you to join hands with somebody for the sake of the moment and for the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. I would ask you for in this instant to be selfish. The reason I'm asking you to be selfish, because this is not about the weight of others. Yeah. This is personal for you. Nobody can help you get out of the portal except you. The way the butterfly breaks out of the cocoon is that the cocoon does not fall apart. it means that the butterfly is too big for its structure. So it doesn't know it has wings yet. Could it be that you're uncomfortable because you're too big for an old structure? And God is waiting for you to break the cocoon? I don't know who am I preaching to, but I know it's to somebody. It could be on Facebook Live. I don't know who it is. Slap your name and say, I'm about to break out this thing by spreading my wings, baby. I'm about to spread my wings and let the world know that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh! I want you to give God praise and spread your wings on the count of three for your life, your future, and your destiny. This is perfect. Well, don't you look at me. This is between you and the Lord. On the count of three, you lift your voice, you spread your wings. One, two, three. Spread your wings. 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 Ah! Spread your wings. Break out, 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 break out of debt, break out of sickness, break out of lack, break out, break out, break out. We gotta go. I can't mess around with y'all. Slap your neighbor and say, I broke out, baby. I don't know about you, but I broke out of some mindsets. I broke out of, oh God, I feel an anointing in here. I broke out of some circumstances. I broke out of some conditions. I broke out. You can shout when you leave. You can dance when you leave. But if I broke out, I would certainly have a dance down in my spirit. If I broke out, I would certainly give God praise for the breakout. If I broke out, I would be leaping and dancing and clapping and jumping and hollering. If I broke out, I would be giving God glory. If I broke out, I would be, if I broke out, if I, why are you looking at me? I wish I had a church in here. Lift those hands all over the church. You have a choice. Do your dance, brother. You have a choice. That's what I would be doing. See that right there? That's exactly what I would be doing. Don't need no music. Don't need no drum. Don't need nothing. Don't need no prompting. He's provoking his destiny. And if you would provoke your destiny, you would get. You better give God glory. Provoke your destiny. Yeah. We gotta go. Lift those hands all over the church. Boy, if I had my preacher's list, I'd wear y'all out. You're leaving here with a different structure. You are no longer the caterpillar. You are now the butterfly. Slap your name and say, go be beautiful, baby. Oh, I wish somebody grabbed this thing. Go be beautiful. Be beautiful in your work. Be beautiful on your career. Oh, God, I feel that anointing in here. Be beautiful, be beautiful, be beautiful, be beautiful. Ah. Ah. Lift those hands. For those of you who are spectating, trying to figure out why these crazy people jump on up. I know we got a baby dedication. I know we got stuff to do. Thank you for your patience. There's another wave of glory right there for a breakout. There's another wave of glory. Y'all come. When it hits you, just shout. When it hits you, just run. When it hits you. Hey! Today, if you choose to, you never have to go back to crawling again. Greater is here. Those hands. I pray that you choose to become what God has called you to be. Identify the problem, go through the process, endure the passage, break out of the portal, introduce yourself to a new world, change, transform. May God bless you. May He keep you. May His face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you. Give you peace. May He surround you with His favor as with a shield. May His blood cover you and His angels protect you. From now until eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Come on, give the Lord glory all over the house.